An interview with Llewellyn Bixby Jr. in his office at the Bixby Land Company at 444 West Ocean Boulevard, Long Beach, California. The date is May 9, 1984, and the interviewer is Ann Andrews.
But could you tell us anything about some of the earlier directors of the Altice Land Company and the Bixby Land Company? They're two entirely different companies, and I have the minute books of the first two companies, the first minute books of those two companies. Mm-hmm. So this is a little mixed up, but George Flint was, and he was a brother of the Flints, who were first cousins of my granddad Llewellyn along the way, and actually he was one of the executors of the estate of my grandfather Llewellyn, 1L,
mm-hmm.
in front,
mm-hmm.
along the way, and that's how he happened to come into the picture along the way, because the Bixby Land Company was formed in 1896. And when my granddad was alive,
mm-hmm.
he died in December of 1986, and so George Flint was one of the executives, so that's how he happened to be involved in Bixby Land Company. These really in this first question don't come in any particular order, but I can start with Mr. Jake and Judge Flint was, because of his relationship along as being executive of my granddad's estate. Mr. Musgrove was one of the early secretaries. I don't know whether he was actually secretary of the company along here, but anyway, he was the head of the bookkeeping department. Mm-hmm. I can remember him. W.N. Beach, found along later on, he was a classmate of my dad's at Pomona College. And he followed Musgrove along the way and was still with the company when they moved to from 22 Pacific, which was where all the company offices mm-hmm. were for a long time, mm-hmm. into the security building. And actually, he was still with the company as secretary when I came in with the Bixby Land Company in 1942. W.N. Wines, William Norman Wines, was one of the founders of Wines and Irvine, it was to begin with, as an accountancy
mm-hmm.
firm, and they shared offices really with the Bixby companies, that's all of them at that time, Bixby Land Company, Alameda, Joseph Bixby, and then the Bixby Company in the Security Bank Building, and his office was between those companies and Wines and Irvine, because he acted as secretary to all those kinds of
stuff, mm-hmm.
and we sort of worked through Norm Wines. Later on, Tom Irwin got out of that particular firm and became Wines and McCrory, which is still around town. Actually, they occupy the whole top floor here in this building, plus all this half of the floor down here across the way from it. It's now Wines and McCrory.
Are they serving as your accountants?
They've been our accountants for 50-some-odd years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, Norm Wines is gone a long, long time ago, and Paul McCrory is still, he's retired, but mm-hmm. he still turns up down here. V.H. Rossetti of the Alameda Land Company. Vic Rossetti comes in to the Alameda Land Company only. He was not associated with any of the other Bixby companies because he represented I.W. Hellman out of San Francisco.
Oh.
Vic Rossetti was president of the Farmers and Merchants Bank in Los Angeles. He had their offices at 4th and Main Street, Los
mm-hmm.
Angeles,
mm-hmm.
for a good many years. And I don't know whether I maybe should go back because I have a breakdown on this. He represented the I.W. Hellman family on the board of the Alameda Land Company for a good many years. In 1945, when I came on the board of Alameda Sign Company, Fred Bixby is the president, Susie Bryant, his sister, Susanna Bixby Bryant, his sister, was on the board, Ernest Bryant Jr., Susanna Bixby Bryant's son, was on the board, Vic Rossetti was on the board representing the Hellman family, I.W. Hellman was on the board, but he never came, Theodore Chamberlain Jr. was on the board representing the Llewellyn Bixby
mm-hmm.
and Joseph Bixby's side. And I came on March 2nd, 1945, after the death of Joseph Bixby Company, to represent the Llewellyn and Joseph Bixby.
One-third interest.
So, and Vic Rossetti was on the board until Fred Bixby died in 1952. Then Vic Rossetti was president from 1952 until 1960, when Rossetti died, and then I became president in 1960, and I've been president of Alameda Sign Company ever since that time. So that takes you through your one name here, V.H. Rossetti, the Alameda Sign Company.
Is there still a representative of the Hellman interests on the board?
Yes, we have two of them on the board. We have Warren Hellman, who is a grandson or great-grandson, I think probably great-grandson of the original Rossetti on there, and a fellow by the name of Bill Mackey, an attorney from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
We have two of them on the board representing the Hellman interest out of the San Francisco area. And the stock ownership company of the Alameda Sign Company has been divided up, and all the directors basically sort of represent branches of the family. And it was two-third Bixby's and Alameda's and one-third Hellman who came in 1887, something like that. Alameda's land was incorporated in 1888. Go on to Mr. Mornstecker. All I can tell you about Mr. Mornstecker was that he was a great friend of Joseph Bixby's. He lived across at the northeast corner of Junipero. Now, that's very few people know where Junipero is. And Ocean Boulevard, right across the street from where Joseph Bixby and Margaret lived on the south side. Back, that house is long gone, shaken loose in the earthquake, and then the city bought it and it's now part. Ian Grant. Came way back in, and I have no trace on him.
Mm-hmm.
E.W. Rankin of the Bixby Land Company was a, well, I remember the name, but it's a little bit beyond my ken, a bit too far back for me to go. We'll look at some of the early minutes in here just later on if you're interested.
I had one question that I didn't ask. George Blunt, I believe, was married to Maud Healy, who was the daughter of Charles Healy, the original surveyor.
Yes, and you see on the map on the wall, and Healy was one of the surveyors on that. They call him a diseño.
Oh.
Back in those days, that's a Mexican term for a survey.
Mm-hmm.
I think the upper one on the corner shows him as being the engineer on that. Well, as I rounded out question number one sufficiently to confuse you, later on, I think you'd be interested in seeing some of these.
I have one thing that might tie in with that. This is a copy of a letter from Joan Hodgkiss's files that we're going to, which she got a copy from the cousin Maxim Smith, and he's written on it, and she's written on it. And it's a letter in which they say, he says that you have the original of this letter.
You mean I have the original?
Yeah. He says that has the original of this letter. And it's from George H. Bixby to Susan Bixby regarding the dividing up of the Meadows, I think, after 1890. And there are a few remarks there about he'd just as soon not deal with Mr. Hellman. And just wondered if you'd had any comments on that you're familiar with.
I don't have the original position here.
Oh, okay.
I have seen this letter, but a copy. I haven't talked to Max and Smith since about 15 minutes ago.
I talked to him yesterday. I was up in Los Angeles and talking yesterday.
Well, he's on the board of both of Bexby and Alameda Factions, I think 84, 85.
86, he told me yesterday.
86, is that what he told me? Mm-hmm. I can't keep track of him. He drives a Jeep, a red Jeep, when he comes down to the meeting and confuses everybody. Real great guy. Susie, just age 59 at time, this letter.
It's very confusing with all the notes on this. Mm-hmm. Both he and Joan, I think, wrote some comments. This is Joan's handwriting, and I think this is...
This is Susan Hathaway. And these are 31 and 32. Those are probably...
These genealogical numbers.
That's that
think,
time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have one of the books that shows Maxim Smith's breakdown of the genealogical.
Yes, yes, and then you also gave me the one that, the more recent one.
Yep.
By Stephen Dudley.
I've seen this letter before, but I don't have
it. Okay.
Okay. How did the board of directors of both companies function? Was the president of the board instrumental in determining policy? Now, where and when do you mean? You mean from the beginning?
It may be a foolish question.
The Alameda Land Company will be 100 years old in 1988.
It may be a foolish question.
All I can do is I've read the early minutes along the way, and it's just one of those things. I think they ran it like sort of, I really think the number one man ran most of it along the way.
Yeah.
But they were small. Number five, usually in the board of directors back in those days. Was the president of the board instrumental in determining policy? Actually, back in the formative days along this, the presidents of both the Alamedas and the Bixby board were pretty elderly.
Yeah.
But they were both real old California veterans. Fred Bixby, when he became president along the way in Alamedas, I.W. Hellman became president in 88 when it was first incorporated, and he was president of the board till 1920. I asked Gary Neighbors to come in. Fred Bixby came on in 21, and he was president until 1955, when he died, and then P.H. Rossetti came on. He was on till 60, and then when I came on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just vice president. Llewellyn Bixby, my granddad, was vice president until 96, 97 when he died, and then Jotham came on, that Jotham, until he was 1915 when he died, and then my dad came on as vice president until 42 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jotham was vice president along the way. And I was vice president then, and then I came on as president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, it's only... See, George Flint comes up, Mr. Musgrove, and then W.B., William M. Beach, and William M. Wines, and then Derry Neighbors, who's been along there.
Mm-hmm.
I helped Derry dig some of this out. All right. What was the relationship of the Bixby family with the Bank of Long Beach and its successor, Security National Bank? I think you probably have in your collection a Long Beach Community book.
Yeah, we have all the papers.
1948.
Yeah.
And the bank figures times quickly along the way. It tells, this is also, there's a later Walter Case book that I think it's in 1948, which tells a little bit of the story along the way of the different banks, Bank of Long Beach, became National Bank of Long Beach in 1902, and Jotham Bixby, and I think you can go ahead and read this.
Yeah. Because,
and then Jotham was the one up there, and he brought P.E. Hatch. And P.E. Hatch stayed with the bank. Later on, they formed the Long Beach Savings Bank. I know it, and they both moved to the first northeast corner of First and Pine, 1906, and they had a joint building there, about a five-story building.
Was it their building that they had built?
Yes, they built it, and the Long Beach Savings Bank was there, and the Bank of Long Beach. And they were right next door, but one was on the corner. And as I remember it, about the time when I got involved, I mean, even aware of what was going on, P.E. Hatch was president of the Bank of Long Beach in the corner, and my dad was vice president. This
mm-hmm.
was about the
mm-hmm.
20s. And my dad was president of the savings bank, and P.E. Hatch was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And they later on got together, became the 1970, became the Long Beach Trust and Savings Bank. And then, along there somewhere, and I'm confused, I think they got together about 1925 or 24 or 25 when they built the 12-story building, and I think 1928 or 29 is when they merged with the Security Pacific National Bank. That's now the Security Pacific National Bank. At that time, P.E. Hatch was vice president of the branch and manager here
mm-hmm.
at First and Pine. His son, after he retired, well, I can't give you the exact sequence, but anyway, J. Ellsworth Hatch became a member of the board of directors of the Security Bank in Los Angeles and worked up in that organization. After the merger, my dad, who was a trustee in the board of directors down here, became a member of the board of directors of the Security Bank in Los Angeles.
Yeah, okay.
But then later on, they ended up with about 200 directors. And they consolidated, and because they've been expanding so much, so all of a sudden my dad wasn't on the board of directors of the Security Bank in Los Angeles.
It really started from a very small bank in town.
Yes.
Only owned by Bixby's, or?
Basically, it was the Bixby family on the both of Long Beach, the National Bank of Long Beach and the Long Beach Savings Bank were Bixby Enterprises.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any kind of alliance with any companies in town who, you start a bank and you have to have a pretty good idea of who you're going to do business with?
Well, I can't remember that far back because I wasn't even a twinkle in my daddy's eye. You can go to Waller Case in this two book, and these two accounts do not coincide in a lot of different particulars. And I can argue with both books and things that I know because it's about all I have is some of that.
So when the present building is built, the Security Bank building,
1924, 25.
Did your family own any of that, or were they involved?
No, they're stockholders. That's all.
Well, you
and
had your offices there for quite a while, didn't you, in that building?
Our offices, and I can't tell you exactly when, the Jotham Bixby Company built the what was the Kennedy Hotel at the northeast corner of Ocean and Pacific Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And that's about to be torn down now, and all the company offices when I was a kid were at 22 Pacific, right at the alley,
uh-huh.
on the alley corner there. Which is now Piggy's, which is a submarine sandwich place on the corner. That's the old offices. And they were there until 1937, when they moved into the security building.
Uh-huh.
In 1937, on the 817 security building. And we stayed there until we moved into these offices here about 16 years ago.
Was that building at 22 Pacific, you mentioned that when we talked before, was that a two-story building?
It's the one you can see there now. It hasn't been turned down.
Okay.
It was the Kennedy Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And they also built another companion building between the alley and first the an emporium, merchandise store, and then they had a grocery store in the cellar, in the basement, and I think the first Long Beach one of these help yourself grocery stores where you went in and you got a basket and you just checked out at the time. It was a great sensation. Of course, across the street in those years on the west side of Pacific Avenue was the park. I mean, was the market.
Oh, street market? Yeah.
Farmer's market that wrapped all around up Pacific, up to Broadway and back down, Cedar or something, the next one, west of there. And so it used to be a great thing to come down on market days, and I think it was the Wall Company, and you do your grocery marketing there, and you go across the street and get your green groceries.
Mm-hmm.
But that came down, that building there at First South East Corner of First and Pacific came down quite a number of years ago. And they're boarding everything up, and I think the other building, including Piggy's, where our office was at 22 Pacific, is going to be burned. There they go. You say, were there any other early Long Beach companies in which Bixby's were involved other than those already mentioned? The Los Angeles Long Beach Dock and Terminal Company.
We talked about those companies.
I think we covered that, didn't we, before?
Yeah, I was just wondering if there were others that we hadn't.
You say the Southbound and Laundry Company.
Uh-huh.
That was a venture that was started by my dad and his friends, the Cook Brothers, basically William Bill Cook and his brother J.B.
Mm-hmm.
Cook, and they started back around 1903 or 4. It was at 702 West Anaheim at the self-assessment laundry.
Yeah.
Because it didn't make really much money for a long time. But that was sort of a nickname. But it stayed there what's now the corner of Oregon and West Anaheim, 702 West Anaheim. That lasted up into the 40s somewhere after my dad died. I think it was clear into the 50s, and finally it got to be too much of a burden, and we sold it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basically, at that time, some of the early investors, others, Earl Fast, who's around town, Earl Fast management for quite a while. His dad, Beck, his father-in-law, by the name of Beck, was the manager of it for a good many years. But that went along with one of those things that finally just disappeared because economics didn't work for it. Yep. The Long Beach Dairy and Creamery Company.
We did discuss that. Yeah.
Pictures on the wall.
Yeah,
you see that?
Yeah.
The hoof and mouth disease did that one.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we had a dairy and no milk to sell it at Long Beach Dairy and Creamery Company. I mean, we had no dairy to supply.
Well, I just wondered if there were any companies in addition to those. I mean, I had found names, you know, of various 60 members in some those companies. I wondered if there were any early companies.
There's one, the Amelia Bixby Company,
uh-huh.
but that was formed by Mrs. Amelia on the death of George H.
Uh-huh.
along the way, and she incorporated herself, which was one of these other things, and ran that, and that was her death, and then it was dissolved quite a few years ago. While we are still on those, not going to five, I thought maybe you might be interested. Well, why don't we start first with the Alamedas, because it's the oldest, and this is the original minute book, starting in January 27, 1888. And this is the organization meeting. Goes on and on, and here were the original stock subscribers. I.W. Hellman, 3,300 shares. J.C. Goodwin, 33 and a 30. He was a representative of I.W. Hellman on this. George H. Bixby, 33 and a third. Joachim Bixby, 33. J. Flint, 833, J. Bixby, 4966, and T. Thursday. They have these odd numbers now.
Mm-hmm.
Jotham, I'm confused sometimes about this distribution because I don't know exactly where it all fitted in as far as the distribution of families in those days. It finally ended up as being, like down through the history, one-third Hellman, one-third J. Bixby. That's Jotham. I think he represented John Bixby as the executor of the estate because John Bixby died the year before,
mm-hmm.
1887.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his death, and he had started the subdivision of the Alameda Beach townsite just prior to his death, and all of a sudden he was gone, and so the Alameda was formed to take over the Alameda Beach townsite. I'll give you a copy of our original letterhead
mm-hmm.
if you'd like to
oh,
have it.
Yeah.
Take along. It shows the Alameda Beach townsite. The remaining part of the old Rancho Los Alamedas was then, okay, Alameda Farm Company ended up in a stock division of one-third Hellman, one-third John Bixby family, and one-third Jotham and Llewellyn, two of Billy. Then they split the rest of the ranch up outside of what became the Alameda Land Company, which the Alameda Land Company ran from Alameda Avenue on the east down to a line that runs down Pacific Coast Highway and then down about to Belmont Heights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the rest of the ranch, it was 27,000 acres to begin with, was divided up in three equal parts between Jotham and Llewellyn.
Mm-hmm.
The John Bixby family, which they couldn't see, and not W. Hellman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and how these things, I think Jotham Bixby probably represented John Bixby
mm-hmm.
along the way because this is executive,
mm-hmm.
because he had done. But there we go, in the bylaws,
mm-hmm.
and the director's present, Aaron Bixby, my granddad, I.W. Hellman, J.C. Goodwin, and George H. Bixby. George H.
Yes.
Right there, son of Jotham.
Mm-hmm. Did we ever say who Mr. Goodwin was?
No, he's sort of a mystery to me. But I think looking at this stock distribution, he was a representative of Hellman because you see, you put Goodwin and Hellman together and you get exactly one-third of the stock.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's, this is detective work. Anyway, Mr. Goodwin nominated Llewellyn Bixby for vice president of the company, Mr. G.H. Bixby, secular nomination, Mr. Llewellyn Bixby was elected vice president, Mr. Goodwin nominated George H. Bixby, George, secretary of the company, Mr. George Bixby, second in the motion, Mr. G.H. Bixby was elected secretary, Mr. Goodwin was nominated the Farmers and Merchants Bank, okay, they are Hellman Bank,
mm-hmm.
of Los Angeles, a corporation for treasury of the company. Now, they had a company for treasury. Mr. L. Bixby, seconded the nomination. The Farmers and Merchants Bank was elected treasurer, and then here come the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
and all the articles and so forth and
mm-hmm.
so on.
And you have the original certificate, or...
The Secretary of State on the wall.
On the wall, in the lobby.
But this handwriting great?
It's beautiful. No, well, there's a little correction, but most of them are perfect.
Signed by George H. Bixby, secretary.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Look at him, signature.
Hmm. Good luck out there,
mm-hmm.
Incidentally, Mr. Hellman was still on the board when I first came out in 1945, and he never came to the meeting.
He must have been pretty old by then.
Well, yeah, he's getting along the way. Then this goes through and recites different lots and blocks that were sold. And I checked some of these down against the old maps. It's interesting what the pricing was. $500 or $1,000, not the original track maps, and everything went pretty well for several years until about a year. And then they had the Great Panic of 1888,
mm-hmm.
and nothing much went on for a long time until 1900, and it had very few meetings. They just meet and commiserate.